You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
The Miz.
There you are. Welcome back to Gorilla Position. You were just commenting on the name Gorilla Position. Do you like it?
I was asking you, like, how did you come up with the Gorilla Position? Like, I think it's a very good name.
Oh, thanks.
So, but it's very an insider name, you know, when that is the spot where basically we get ready, prepared, and when we walk out the curtain, our music hits, we walk out the curtain, that's the place that we are. We call it the Gorilla Position.
Yeah.
So I'm curious on how you knew about the Gorilla Position, because I thought it was a very WWE superstar producer, kind of whoever is the exact might know what it is, whoever's backstage might know what it is, but someone like you, I didn't think would know exactly what that is. Not saying that you don't know, but it's just you're not backstage. You're not a WWE superstar. So
I don't know. I feel like I've always known, but I don't know how I found out. I guess I don't know.
And how did you come up with the name?
Reading online. I just thought it was a cool name.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
You made your own title and everything.
Yeah.
Didn't really win it, just made it.
Just paid
like a grand for it, and then here you are.
I didn't pay anything for it.
You didn't?
No.
They did, huh?
Yeah.
Look at you.
There you go.
Look at you.
I'm business, through and through.
I like
just
it.
Just like yourself, Miz.
I know. I wore a nice suit for you.
I dressed
up unlike someone.
Don't point at me.
You didn't really dress up. Is this you dressing up? Did you literally wake up yesterday or wake up this morning and go, man, I really got to dress up. What's the best thing that I have for The Miz? Because I'm interviewing today. And you chose the blue shirt and the denim pants and brown shoes.
What's
you didn't
wrong
wear
with
a tie, no suit, no nothing. It's like almost like I care, but I don't.
I get very hot in a suit.
He's wearing the same clothes yesterday.
Are you wearing the same clothes that you wore yesterday?
No.
Honestly.
Moving on.
Honestly.
Yes, I am.
Why?
Because we had to stay overnight unexpectedly.
Unexpectedly? So, yeah. Why? You had to wait for me? You're like, listen, you get an interview with The Miz.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man. Well, I guess I'll stay one more night and I'll wear this. You don't bring like clothes, like extra clothes. Like I always have at least two suits with four ways of wearing it. So
really?
Always. 100%
how else
of the
would
time.
You wear that suit?
Huh?
How else would you wear that
white
suit?
White shirt.
Right.
Without the vest.
Right.
Also, I have a polka dot shirt. So I have three different ways of wearing this suit. Mm. And then I have a gray suit. And there's three different ways of wearing that suit as well.
Essentially, I need to sort my life out, don't I?
You do.
Yeah.
You really do. You need to get organized.
Yeah. All right. I apologize.
It's okay.
So listen, congratulations on the birth of your wonderful baby daughter. Mm-hmm. Are you loving life as being an A-list dad?
Yes, yes and no. So, yes, I am loving life. The fact that, you know, you always love being busy, but when, and I don't know if you have kids. But
I do, two daughters.
When you have a kid, I never realized this, but you miss them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you miss them more than anything you've ever missed before. And especially because she's only 1 month, and this is the longest I've been away from her. Mm. I think it's been 9 days. And every day she's changing. Yeah. Every day my wife shows, thank God for Facebook and Skype, because I don't know what I would do. I mean, every time I see her, it seems like she's changing. Every day I'll FaceTime and just stare at her. And it was funny yesterday. My wife, we were FaceTiming. I go, all right, I'll see you later. And then she was waiting for me to hang up, and I was just staring. And she's like, are you going to hang up? I go, yeah. Yeah, almost there.
Yeah.
Almost ready. Okay.
You just soak okay. in every.
Yeah,
every
just, I just try to soak in as much as I possibly can. Because just her little grunts, just little like facials that she does. I always look at her eyes to see if they change, because I hear that within the first 3 months, right now she has big blue eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing if they change to brown or green or whatever. But right now they're sticking to blue.
And Monroe Sky, lovely yep. name.
Thank
where,
you.
Where did the name come from?
You know, it's funny. So I was here in London filming Marine 6 with okay. Shawn Michaels and Becky. And there was this actress, Louisa, and she was playing a character called Sarah. And Shawn, myself, and Sarah would always be in the makeup room getting our makeup done and getting ready, putting blood on me because I'm a Marine. It's an action movie. So I was telling all the makeup ladies and everyone that, you know, we haven't found a name yet. And Louisa was like, oh, I'm going to find a name. And I go, all right, if you really want to. So every day she would come in with like 40 names.
Oh.
And every day I'd go, no, no, no. And you'd think it would break her spirit.
Yeah.
But every day she was even more motivated. And one day we were sitting, it was freezing cold because we shot in the middle of December, and all the buildings that we shot in had no heat and all the windows were blown out. Yeah. So we were freezing every day. So we'd all be like this by the heater, just going like this. And she'd be like, what about this name? What about this name? And I'm like, no, no, no. And she goes, what about Monroe? And I go, you like it. And I was like, hold on a sec. I texted Maurice, and Maurice was like, oh my God. And then she told her mom, and her mom was like, wow. And so Maurice, myself, and basically said, this is it. Like, once you hear it, it was it. So Louisa, who was driven every yeah. day, and I denied every name that she would come up with. And finally she came, she said Monroe. And I was like, oh my God, Monroe Sky. That's going to be the name.
That's awesome.
Right.
Thanks to Louisa. That's
right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good honor.
She was on a show out here, Wolf. I can't remember the name of it. It was a really popular show out here.
Okay.
You don't know.
I'm just going to type in Wolf Louisa and see what I get.
There you go.
Yeah. So how...
Wolf Blood. Is that right?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
No? Anyone?
We'll find out.
Anyone?
We'll find out. How does it feel about being back on Smacky D?
It does. You know, it's weird. So... I'm one of the superstars that have been fortunate or unfortunate of the fact that I have been drafted each and every time.
Right.
You know, I've been part of the superstar shakeup every time. And every time, people don't realize, I guess, out there, and you guys probably don't realize, it changes your career. It changes your life. Because now you're on a completely different show, and you have to basically kind of maneuver through everything and find your placing, find your footing. I don't know if you remember when I went to SmackDown, it was very difficult. I was barely on the show, and that's when Talking Smack came about. Right. And I kind of went off on Daniel Bryan, and then finally they started giving me shots. Then I went to Monday Night Raw, and it was right before SummerSlam, and I ended up being on the pre-show. And so I had to build my way up. Mm. So coming to SmackDown, I was like, man, again, like it's like you have to build your way up on these cards. But now I felt like I've been built so much. Like I've been building this character for so long that now I'm at a spot where no matter where I am, I will make it the elite level. I'll make it the main event. And I have the confidence now to know that. And being on SmackDown Live, not being in the Intercontinental title picture anymore, it made me realize, all right, what do I have here on SmackDown Live? Mm. And that's the title that I've only had once. And I've always felt like, a one-hit wonder. You know, it's always the title that I wanted again. And it's a title that I feel should be in the main event that isn't in the main event ever. You know, and so I felt like it should have been in the main event. I felt like AJ Styles is a very good champion. But right now, he's not getting those main event caliber, I guess, looks.
Yeah.
And so I feel it is my duty as a WWE superstar and now as a SmackDown Live talent to go into SmackDown Live and bring that title, elevate that title like I did the Intercontinental Championship, and bring it into the main event and showcase exactly what that title deserves. And that is, you know, me as the WWE champion.
And talking about your IC title reign, another incredible reign. Seth Rollins last night was actually being very, very complimentary.
To me?
You. Yeah.
To
he,
me?
He was saying very nice things about you last night. Saying you have done
someone being nice to me.
Yeah.
Shocking.
He was saying you've done an incredible job with the IC title. Is that something that the company wanted to do, elevate that championship? Is that something
I don't know.
You took upon yourself to do? I feel like you take enormous pride in your work.
I do, but obviously, I mean, The Miz will tell you that I did it on my own. Mike will tell you that each and every person I stepped in the WWE ring with had the same goal. And that is to elevate the Intercontinental Championship, whether it was Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, anyone that stepped in that WWE ring wanted to make sure that that title had the match it deserved. And because I think we all have pride in that title. And I think nowadays everyone looks at it and goes, that was the title. And now it is back to where it was.
Yeah.
And not only that, I think it's even elevated higher. I think, you know, with Seth Rollins having the Intercontinental Championship, now that it's on Raw and not on SmackDown Live, I can't hold that title. And Seth Rollins is a very viable superstar to elevate that title even more if he can. I mean, I don't even know if you can elevate it even more than I can, but if someone could, it's Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is very, very good in the ring and has done an amazing job with it so far in the short time that he's had it.
Mm. And you combined, I believe I'm right in saying you've had the IC title for 599 days.
Is that correct?
I think so.
I don't even know.
I think you're the second longest reigning, you know, combined champion. Do you have any particular fond memories? Is there one particular match that stands out to you as like a real highlight of any of those runs?
I think the match with Dolph Ziggler.
Okay,
that was
a great one.
Yeah. I think we had I think we had two really good, solid matches that people looked at and went, wow. I think it was the eye-opener match of, wow, this is really elevating the Intercontinental Championship. Mm. And it kind of took people by storm and started realizing, like, this title is making noise, is making headway.
And you told a great story as well. Could Dolph do it?
Agreed.
Like, great narrative.
I think the whole platform of that was fantastic.
Mm. Now, you are The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
You are awesome.
Thank you.
Is there anything in the life of The Miz that isn't awesome? Is there anything that gets on your goat?
Gets on my nerves?
Yeah, what are you unhappy about at the moment?
Not being able to be with my daughter 100% of the time.
Okay.
But I think that's what every father and parent goes through.
Yeah.
Whether it's a father or a working mother out there, like, now I'm starting to understand and realize, like, people would always say, like, you don't get it. You don't get it until you have a kid. And I'm like, whatever. Mm. Like, I get it. I didn't get it. I was like, I have dogs. I have cats. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, everything revolves around that kid. Everything. Like, everything revolves around Monroe. She's the only person that can literally, poop, puke, and pee on me, and I won't get mad. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you only can smile. And so, you know, now I finally get what it is to be a parent. And now I kind of have a new appreciation for my parents, because I didn't realize what they went through
to
raise me. And I saw them, because we were shooting Miz and Mrs., which will be on USA and United States. I'm not sure if it'll get over here. But when we were shooting that, like, it kind of made me realize and appreciate my parents even more on what they went through.
Yeah. Cause
now I understand. Now I understand the sleepless nights. People are like, you won't be able to sleep. And I'm like, I'll be able to sleep. There I am at 5 o'clock in the morning, just being like, please, please just sleep. I'm so tired right now. Just eat and sleep. I changed you. Why are you crying still? Even though she's the best baby.
So, but I was going to ask you about, Ms. and Mrs. So it's your new reality show.
Docuseries.
Apologies.
Documenting my wife and myself, basically trying to become becoming first time parents in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, and were you obviously you're used to a life in front of cameras, but it's something different, kind of inviting them into your homes. Were you kind of nervous about that aspect of it?
I've been on camera my entire life.
Yeah.
Mainly. I mean, for the past 20 years. Everything has been, you know, whether I'm doing interviews all day or, you know, everything's like reality now. Everything's out there. You know, you have internet, you have the Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook, you have, you know, YouTube, podcasts, everything there is, you know, people know exactly what everyone's doing nowadays and everyone's interested in it. So to be able to have the opportunity to do this with my wife and be able to document kind of what we're doing and what it's like, I think we're going to look back on it and go, wow, that was pretty cool. Like, we get to document like her going through pregnancy, me trying to help her as much as possible, all while traveling all the time. You know, my wife was, last year was here, you know, like she, we were in Europe together, you know, being the it couple. And now she's at home with our daughter and I'm in Europe, you know, again, still going. So it just shows like what happens to a career and what happens to, you know, my career as well as her career and how we have to build it up and keep it maintaining it.
Yeah. Nice.
You're listening to the number one WWE podcast. It's Gorilla Position.
I can't not talk to you about Daniel Bryan.
Sure. You already, you had him before me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that nice? That's nice and special. Like, I love that he was before me.
He was slagging you off.
Was he?
Yeah. Mm. He said, and I quote, "Miz doesn't know when to shut his mouth."
I don't.
No, how would you describe Daniel Bryan to me?
One of the most talented in-ring performers that WWE has ever seen, behind me. He is incredible in the ring. He was incredible in the mic, and he creates sympathy. But I also think that, how do you put this? Daniel Bryan looks like he doesn't want the attention, but he does. He acts like he doesn't want the notoriety, but he does. Because if he didn't want to be exactly like, I say it through and through. I go, I want notoriety. I want people to look and see what I want. And you know what I mean? I want people to be like, wow, The Miz is doing this, this, and this, and this. Daniel Bryan kind of pushes it off and says, no, no, no. But he really does. Because if he didn't, then he would have left WWE. But he liked the attention. And people sit there and always talk about talking smack. They always bring back the incident of talking smack. And what did I do on there that was so terrible? Because if you do remember, and nobody really does remember exactly what happens, everyone just talks about talking smack. But they don't really look into it and see exactly what happened. On there, I came in there, and Daniel Bryan came at me. He called me a coward, which wasn't the worst part about it. It was him saying that I have a soft style of wrestling, which really kind of triggered everything. That's when it really just clicked. And I kind of just went off on him, on all the frustrations that I was going through in my life was just taken out on Daniel Bryan. And sometimes I just turn black and my mouth really will start going and I have no idea what I'm saying. And honestly, once I started going at it, I said the truth. I said everything that people don't say, but I said it. And I owned it, and I said it to his face. And Daniel Bryan's all about fighting for his dreams. But on that day, he wasn't fighting for his dreams. He walked away. He turned around and walked away because I was expecting to get hit. I was expecting to get, you know, something to happen. And he walked away. And so then I had to turn to the camera and literally show focus where focus was due. And that was the Intercontinental Championship and myself, same Intercontinental Championship that he had to relinquish, that he wanted to make prestigious and honorable. And I think there's some jealousy, if I'm really being honest, that the fact that I was able to do what he couldn't, and I was still able to do what he couldn't, but now he's able to do that. But I don't think he's at the level that he was 4 years ago. He's not. And people are all saying Miz versus Daniel Bryan, Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. But he's not at the caliber that I'm at right now. Has he showcased anything since he's been back that he is a main event level talent? Besides the audience doing the yes, 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 that was cool 4 years ago. Has he had a match that you go, wow, he's back. He's showcasing all the stuff that Daniel Bryan knows how to do. Now, granted, he was very long in a Royal Rumble, in the Greatest Royal Rumble, but that's a Greatest Royal Rumble match. You can sit there and take someone's finisher and not get thrown over the top rope and just lay there for an hour. Now, granted, did he lay there for an hour? No, but that is not a singles match. He is not at the talent that he was 4 years ago. And it takes a long time. This isn't riding a bike. Being a WWE superstar isn't like riding a bike and you just all of a sudden just get back on and hop on and start running. No, you have to basically train. You have to basically get to a level. And he's not at the level that I'm at right now. And I think he needs to gain a lot more matches to get to my level, to get to me. He has to earn his way to me. I don't have to earn my way to him. And I think that's what the problem I have with all the people saying Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. And I have a problem with him changing my life, because my life was fine on Monday Night Raw. I was doing three or four segments, having a Miz TV, then a four-segment match. It was all this. The entire Monday Night Raw was revolved around me. And then Daniel Bryan says, hey, Paige, would you mind if you brought Miz over here to SmackDown Live? That changes my life. Changes my family's life. And you bring me over to SmackDown Live, why? Why? So what, you can have a piece of me? You don't deserve a piece of me. And I'll tell you when you deserve a piece of me. When I start seeing the same Daniel Bryan I saw 4 years ago. Until then, no.
And if
I wrong? You tell me, am I wrong? You watch the product. You're a huge fan, right?
I am a huge fan.
Tell me, is he at the same level that he was at 4 years ago?
I think it was a very impressive performance, the greatest Royal Rumble, as you rightfully said.
It's a different type of match, though.
He's just beaten Big Cass.
I've been in those type of Royal Rumbles for an hour. Now, granted, it's a great showcase.
Yeah.
But it's not a singles match. It's not a showcase of showing your talent in a singles setting. It's completely different.
But could you not argue that because he's been away for a few years and now he's so passionate and so determined to do great things, he could, get to your level?
You don't think
quicker?
That there are many superstars that are passionate, that are driven to be at the top level, the elite level of WWE? You don't look at the AJ Styles, the Shinsuke Nakamuras, who have been elevating themselves for the past year, 2 years, 3 years, however long they've been here. There have been superstars that haven't been given the opportunities that I think can and will be able to showcase. That's why I gave Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel the opportunities, because I saw them sitting in catering every single Monday, before Raw, and sitting there going, we have wasted talent right now. But now all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan gets put back in. He's allowed to be in WWE, and he gets thrust upon us into the main event. I don't think so. You have to earn your way back. You have to slow play it way back. You have to basically earn it. And I honestly don't believe that he's earned it yet. Do I think he will? Do I think he has the drive? Of course. But will it happen? I don't know. I don't know if he's still the same Daniel Bryan that you all knew and love back 4 years ago. I don't know. Age takes a lot on you in WWE. And when you haven't been in that WWE ring in 4 years, things change. Styles change. Think about what you've seen 4 years ago to today, and I guarantee it's a completely different roster.
So what if he was ready for WrestleMania 35? Main event, Miz versus Daniel Bryan, championship on the line.
It all depends on what he does from now till that main event of WrestleMania. Is that where you would like to see it?
I think that is my new dream match. Yeah.
Is it?
It is. It actually
WrestleMania.
Is. WrestleMania.
You wouldn't want it before.
No, nope.
There's a lot of fans that trust me, I read everything, and a lot of fans think, oh, it needs to happen now, or it needs to happen at SummerSlam, it needs to happen at Survivor Series, it needs to happen at Royal Rumble, it needs to happen at WrestleMania. Like, I've been hearing all different time frames, and what I'm curious is what the fan wants.
Okay, well, I can speak on behalf of most of our listeners, I think, who would agree that the slow burn story, and especially the story between you and Daniel Bryan, which is built since the original NXT. In what, 2010?
Yeah,
when
like
Daniel Bryan was your rookie on that show.
Which everyone thought that I should be his rookie, even though I was in WWE for 5 years.
Yeah.
Have been working my butt off trying to become the superstar I am, but they thought, oh, since he's an indie darling and since he's so fantastic on the indies, that you can't just come from the indies. I mean, you watch some of these kids come from the indies and they come to WWE and they fail. And why do they fail? It's not because, that they don't have the talent or anything. They just can't handle. Like, their character was great in front of 25 people. It's not great in front of thousands and thousands and thousands. And you have to work. You have to work really, really hard. And do I think that some of them have the work ethic? Absolutely. But I think some of them think that they're all bona fide stars and they should be stars here in WWE. And then some of them just can't hack it.
Mm.
And I've been able to hack it for 12 plus years, and I'll continue to hack it. And you know, with the Daniel Bryan situation, it was like this. I was his pro on NXT. Everyone thought he should have been my pro. And then what did I do? I basically tried to maneuver his career and allow his career to be the success story that it is.
Yep.
You look at it. Who gave him his first title match? Who? Me.
You.
United States Championship. You're welcome. Mm. Did I ask for a thank you? No. Never asked for a thank you. Basically, I was his start, and I gave him his first championship, and I allowed him to be the superstar that he is today, you know, going all the way and showcasing the abilities that he could do. And then was I ever thanked for that? No, but I was told that I have a soft style of wrestling and that I was a coward, even though he's the one that walked away cowardly.
It's a great story.
Is it?
It's the best.
Yeah, well.
It's the best. I want to see it at WrestleMania 35. Quickly, moving subjects.
Do I make valid points?
Of course you make valid points.
I sit there and I think sometimes like people are like, oh, what a jerk. What a bad guy. What a horrible person. But I'm sitting there making points that are real. These are facts,
yep.
Factual situations that happened to me. Now, just because I'm quote unquote the bad guy and Daniel Bryan knows how to create sympathy. Like Daniel Bryan's playbook goes like this: create sympathy, thank your wife, cry, and then get his ass kicked. It's simple. It's repetitive. It's always simple like that. So it just upsets me when people go, well, he's the villain in this. I'm not the villain. I'm not the bad guy. I have always tried to showcase all the talent that is in the ring with me and elevate them to my level. And if you're not at my level, then I'm going to crush you. I'm sorry to take away Rusev's crush, but I will.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes the story so good. It's shades of gray. It's not black and white. You have valid points. He has valid points. You're very.
What are his points?
Well.
What, that I'm cocky and arrogant? Is that so bad? Is it so bad to be confident in what you are doing and displaying yourself at an elite level? There's a reason that I look, walk, and talk and dress the way I do. Mm. It's because I have a pride in my brand and in who I am and who my family is and who I am as a person. Yeah. There's a reason that I come to Gorilla Position and I wear a three-piece suit and you're wearing, you know, a button-up that you wore yesterday. Because I take pride in everything that I do. And okay. People look at it, well, that was mean. Is it mean? Is it mean that I've taken pride and that I woke up an extra hour early to get ready for this, even though I didn't even know it was going to be on camera, to be honest. I thought it was just going to be a podcast.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you wearing the suit.
You're getting upset.
I really did. No, I don't.
All right. All right. Enough. Enough of that.
No, I just, I'm conscious that we're running out of time. And we can't spend all the time.
Am I talking too much?
No, not at all. It's all brilliant. Roman Reigns, very quickly. Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about him. A year ago, 6 months ago, now it's a hot topic of discussion. Everyone thinks he should be turned heel. He should be a bad guy. Stone Cold Steve Austin came up and said he's not being used properly. And, you know, Steve Austin's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time.
He's not being used properly. However, the audience always has a reaction to him.
Okay.
It's kind of the Cena syndrome. You look at John Cena, whether you love him or you hate him, he always gets a reaction.
Mm.
Roman Reigns has that same aura, that same ability. Now, does he need to be healer? I think he just needs to be Roman Reigns.
Is that what you think? Because yeah. as I genuinely believe you're a bit of a wrestling genius.
You've got a
great mind for the business, obviously. So what, you know, what would you do if you were?
I would,
if you were writing the
allow
show?
Roman to keep being Roman. He's selling the most merch out of anybody. And people are going to sit there and go, oh, well, he shouldn't be here. He shouldn't be doing this. Like, nobody knows. Nobody has a scientific formula to being the most, I guess you can say, over superstar in all the WWE. But the one thing is for certain, Roman Reigns gets a reaction every time he goes out. Whether you love him or you hate him, I mean, I still see, like, granted, the hardcore fans will sit there and go, oh, well, you know, they're shoving him down our throats, and how dare you do that, blah, blah, blah. But I guarantee there are kids out there that sit there and look at him. There are women out there that go, oh, my God. Like, and trust me, I know, because my wife's friends will literally go, Roman Reigns, wow. And it's like, all right, what about me, jerk?
He's a hot piece of ass.
You know? And so the fact is Roman Reigns creates a reaction.
Mm.
So I'll let him still get that reaction. And whether he feels that he needs to be bad guy or good guy. Nowadays, it doesn't matter. Like, there aren't bad guys and good guys. How many bad guys and good guys do you see in WWE that are, quote unquote, the nobody likes the good old fashioned Superman, you know? Nobody wants that anymore.
No.
You know, everybody wants that bleed of like gray. And that's what we give you.
Yep.
And I think Roman Reigns is doing a tremendous job in giving you that. He's not going to sit there and go, I'm the all-American good guy. He's going to say things that you go, oh, well, he probably shouldn't have said that because, you know, that's not what a good guy would do, or that's not what a bad guy would do. It's what Roman Reigns feels as he should do. And I think right now, you know, whether you love him or hate him, he's selling the most merch. He's getting the biggest reactions. Yeah. So what's he doing wrong? What's the bad part about that? Tell me. You tell me, because you're sitting there going, well, he should be heel. He should be a bad guy. Really? Should he? Because right now, the audience, whether if I'm in a match with Roman Reigns and they're cheering me and booing me, I guarantee you're going to love that match.
Okay, so is there not an issue if he's being presented as, you know, the sort of face of the company, if you like? Is it not an issue that he's being booed? If there was a bad reaction in New York for him being in the main event with Samoa Joe when the championship was not in the main event,
that I was upset that the championship wasn't. It wasn't the fact that Roman Reigns was in the main event. It was that the championship. Like when I look at championships and the Universal Championship isn't there, I think the WWE or the Universal Championship should be the main event at all times.
Yeah.
The reason being is that's the most prestigious title. It's supposed to be the most prestigious and honorable title in all the WWE, even though when I had the Intercontinental Championship, I made it that. Hmm. I made it like whether I was on the first part of the card or the middle or end, I made sure that that title was showcased as the main event. Was when you talked about that match, man, that's the match that stole the show. That should have been the main event. Hmm. So when I look at the WWE Championship, the Universal Championship, I think they should be at the end. They should end the show no matter what.
Yeah.
Because that's just what I've grew up to. When I was a kid, those titles were always the main event because that's the way it was. But now it's like you have superstars that are almost bigger than the titles. And I guess you can say that the man makes the title. Title doesn't make the man. Mm. It's what I always say. So when I have another title, it will be in the main event. And if it's not, I will strive my hardest to make sure that it is.
Good lad. Good lad. Finally, you mentioned
what would you do?
What would
with
I
Roman
do?
Reigns.
I just know that when he turns up as a badass and is...
But he is a badass, right?
I mean, he is a badass, of course. But I feel like in the past, maybe he's been a little too scripted. I mean, Suckering Succotash is used all the time, but there are certain promos that people have not enjoyed because it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel like him. Whereas if he goes out there and it feels like an extension of his own personality, that's when people are engaged and that's when people really like him. But maybe he's not used in that way enough.
How do you know if it's scripted or not?
Because you can
tell.
You
don't. No, you don't.
No, but you can tell.
No, you don't. You guys don't know. You guys think
you can see it in the eyes.
You have no idea.
You can see it in the eyes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not with you, ever. And that's true.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, with some...
I'm a great actor.
Check out The Marine 6.
There it is.
Is it on DVD yet?
It'll be out, I believe, this fall.
Okay.
We haven't had a particular date. But I will say this. I was in London shooting it. And as much as I hated the traffic, it was during Christmas time.
Mm.
And it was a very, very pretty, just a nice...
Magical time.
Yeah, it really Christmas. Was here in London. So it's always amazing. Like, when they first told me we were shooting in London, I was like, really? Like, so I had to go all the way overseas, and my wife was pregnant, and I was like, man. But coming here, working with James Nunn again, who did Marine 5, who is just an amazing director and really just has a vision and knows how to see it through and knows how to lead an entire crew into getting exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
And making a really action-packed, entertaining movie. And you know who surprised the hell out of me?
Hey.
Shawn Michaels. So charismatic, so funny. And yes, WWE, it's like, but you didn't know he was in WWE. He's a legend. You know, great. But it's a completely different form and a completely different art,
of course, yeah,
in being an actor in like a movie. And man, he was so funny, so charismatic, like almost changed the way the movie had to be done because of how entertaining he was. Like usually Marines are very hardcore, gritty. They're not very funny. Maybe there's like a quick line here and there, but they're not particularly funny. It's more action-packed, but Sean's character is just so funny. And so there was just such chemistry that, man, it almost changed it to a Lethal Weapon rather than, you know, a Die Hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So nice. So it was a lot of fun working with him. And Becky does a tremendous job as well.
To finish on a slightly hard-hitting question, how did you feel when Shawn Michaels cut his hair?
It was funny because I think he actually wanted to cut it for the movie.
Okay.
And then when I saw him at Hall of Fame, I went, you cut it. He's like, I think he really wanted to cut it, but yeah. I think everyone was a little afraid to cut Shawn Michaels' hair.
I'm kind of pleased he has, though.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
He's of a certain age.
It's whatever you want to do, right? Yeah. And Shawn can do whatever the hell he wants.
Absolutely. Sorry, one final question I've got for you. Joe, don't kill me. WWE has been through a lot of changes in recent years. First ever Women's Royal Rumble, for example. WWE connecting with a lot of kind of indie promotions and collaborating with them. What one change would you like to see? Is there anything specific that you think WWE that could do that would be really cool? Like, all women's pay-per-view, for example?
That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be pretty awesome, right?
That'd be great. Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. I just love the fact that there's just so much stuff going on. WWE has its hand in everything now. I mean, we had WrestleMania. 2 weeks later, we have the Saudi Arabia event where it was a second WrestleMania.
Mm.
So we did basically two stadium shows in 1 month.
Yeah.
I would like to see more stadium shows.
Okay.
To be honest, all over the internet. I'd love to see, you know, a stadium show come here.
WrestleMania in London?
I mean, whether it's WrestleMania or we do the same type of event that Saudi Arabia was, because honestly, it was as big as WrestleMania. And so to bring those type of shows and showcase exactly what we could do in a stadium format, I think really would work internationally all over the place, whether it's London, whether it's Australia, whether it's Mexico, any place. It's always, you know, amazing to feel the electricity of an audience and a different audience that normally, you know, is at a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that. All women's pay-per-view would be amazing.
Awesome.
I think they can do it now too. I think they have enough women that, and I think the women are hungry.
Yeah.
They want to get it going.
Yeah. Miz has been a roller coaster.
Has it?
But I've loved it.
Has it?
Yeah.
Is it always a roller coaster with me?
With you, always.
With me? All right. Is it a roller coaster with everybody?
No, just you. I wouldn't have any other.
What
way.
Am I in your guess, I guess you can say. Where do I rank?
Oh,
your guess.
Oh, way
up
there.
And you have to rank it.
Way up there. Okay. Renee Young is always number one.
Why?
Just
charismatic, funny, entertaining.
Just everything you want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd probably place you number two.
I'm number two?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a Daniel Bryan or a...
Oh, he's way down there. Way down.
Really?
There. No, he's up there.
Finn Balor? What about Seth Rollins?
Both good guests. Finn flew over to London for our 100th episode.
Really?
He did a live show with us, yeah.
Wow.
Finn and Bailey. Great nice guests. But yeah, you're number two.
Number two. Under Renee Young.
Wouldn't you love to be under Renee Young?
No.
No, okay.
I love my wife.
Yeah, and you've got a child.
And I have a child.
Yeah. It was inappropriate. I apologize.
You're a very inappropriate person. Okay. Next time, can you wear a suit?
I will. You know, next time I will wear a suit.
Take some pride into your job.
If I wear a suit next time, you come in just jeans and a shirt.
Ugh. All right.
Horrible.
If you really want me to.
We can swap clothes.
All right. I mean, if that's what you want. Yeah. I usually like doing interviews in a three-piece suit.
Okay. It's a good look.
I'd always watch Ric Flair just looking like money every time he went to an interview. It's like, wow, that's what I want to be. So, and now I surpassed him. And then you're getting a phone call
in your room. That is our wrap-up.
Excuse me. I guess that's it.
That's Renee. She's still number one.